Morning and greetings to all of you in Christ's name. That last song expresses a lot of what is contained in Psalm 18 that I want to look at a little bit this morning. My attention was drawn to Psalm 18, and I'd like to read through a good portion of that, not quite the whole chapter. The last song we sang certainly coordinates well with this psalm. Heading in my Bible says that this is David's psalm of thanksgiving for God's manifold and marvelous blessings. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's for God's blessings, a psalm of thanksgiving in a number of ways. The psalm that was written after David was delivered, after one of the many times he was delivered. It's interesting to me to find out that this psalm is nearly identical to 2 Samuel 22. You can find it's very very similar, nearly identical to what's found in 2 Samuel 22. I've entitled this short meditation this morning, "Where Am I Placing My Trust?" As a bit of a backdrop here, David lived, as we know, lived a life on the run for many years. I don't think that's what he expected when Samuel anointed him king at a young age. That's any young man anointed king wouldn't expect to live the life that David did for that many years before he actually took up the kingship in a more tangible way. But I think David's hardships and trials brought him to a place of trust and reliance on God. And you know, the hardships and trials that we face can do one of two things. It can turn us towards God, or it can turn us away from God. He could have become bitter and angry toward God, and so can we as we face difficult things. You know, the Psalms are filled with a lot of deep expression of emotion, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about the Psalms is all the emotion and the deep expression of it. David pouring out his heart to God. But one thing that I've noticed, and others have pointed out as well, I don't remember who mentioned it first, but as I looked at it, I was seeing the same pattern, that oftentimes most of the Psalms, while they have, when David expresses what we would say, maybe a negative emotion, he nearly always comes back to recognizing who God is and comes back to expressing thanksgiving to the Lord or thanking God for who he is. And I think that's a good pattern for us. It's a good thing. It's, in fact, I would say it's a necessary thing to learn to pour out our hearts to the Lord. But then I think it's also healthy for us to then follow up those times of pouring ourselves out to him and recognizing God for who he is, recognizing what you know to be true about him and thanking him for his steadfastness and his character that doesn't change. Let's read Psalm 18, 1 through 36, and then as we read this passage, note David's expressions of who God is to him personally. Note where David places his trust. Note David's expression of God's supremacy over all things, his supremacy over creation, etc. You know, sometimes we ask, we look around us and say, "God, are you really in control?" In our country, in our culture, in our own situation, whatever it is. But note how strongly David expresses God's supremacy over all things. And then note two toward the end of the section that I'll be reading, David's expression of God providing a way for him and sustaining him. Psalm 18, 1 through 36. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord. At the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him and kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Who is God? For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. The first three verses David expresses who God is to him personally. Expresses his love for him and who God is to him personally. His rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his strength, etc. Verses 4 through 6, he talks about some of his own experiences, many of them difficult and challenging. And then 7 through 18 is a colorful description of God at work in his life on his behalf. Verses 19 through 29, I think, are a description of his own journey of faith and God's response to it. I think David recognized that even though he had tremendous military ability, even though he He was given a lot in what God had given to him. He recognized that God alone was to be thanked and praised and recognized for his deliverance. He could have said, "Well, it's my own cunning, it's my own good planning that I'm able to always slip out of Saul's hands." But he kept coming back and saying, "No, God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here." I like how in the last six verses, verse 33-6, he turns his attention back to his God. After talking about his own journey of faith, he turns his attention back to his God who provides for him and cares for him, the one in whom he can trust. So again, coming back to the title for this morning, where am I placing my trust? Is it myself? Is it my ability? Or will I, with David, humbly bow and recognize that God alone is worthy and that God alone is able to be completely trustworthy in my life? I'd like to read those last verses again in closing, verses 30 through 36. And notice how he keeps bringing it back to God. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. May we look to the Lord to be completely trustworthy like he is. And I encourage you this week to pour out your heart to the Lord. Whatever that emotion is, and then come back and acknowledge to the Lord what you know to be true as well, even in your situation that you're in. Let's kneel for prayer. God, we thank and praise you this morning that you are completely trustworthy. You alone are worthy of our trust. And when we look around and experience things that make us nervous or that we wonder where you're at, thank you that we can come back to you, the rock of our salvation. And I pray that today would be another stepping stone in our walk with you, another stepping stone in recognizing your all-sufficiency and a place to be challenged and blessed and convicted where we need to be. Thank you that when those around us fail us, that you will never fail us. And thank you for David's example in pointing us back to yourself. We ask your blessing on this service. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.